Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, A Lifetime is Just Long Enough, was written by Joseph Mindell. It happened exactly 197 years ago in a little town whose name is of no importance. There are those who may like to think of this as an imaginary story about real people. But then, it is also possible to think the same of history. It is not a fruitful thought because the story is, in its own way, a true story. It was a little town, just large enough to have a marketplace, a simple inn, and, of course, a synagogue. Now, as the sun was setting on a day in the autumn of a good year, a traveler arrived and went, naturally, to the synagogue. But he was not an ordinary kind of person was soon evident to the townspeople.
David, look at him.
Be still, Nahum. You're interrupting the services.
He didn't once open the prayer book. Did you see, David?
I saw.
He knows the entire service by heart.
This in itself was not remarkable, perhaps, but neither was it common. And even less common was that which they discovered later in the Bet HaMidrash, the house of study.
We usually spend an hour or so with the Talmud. You are welcome to join us,
Levi Margolin.
Ah. We are discussing the section on proper and improper prayer, Reb Levi. Nahum, would you be good enough to bring me the volume?
The Treatise Berachos, the 7th chapter.
That's right. The 12th paragraph. The book, please, Nahum.
The 12th. Ah, yes, I remember. To pray for the impossible is disgraceful.
Never mind the book.
It is as if one brought into a barn 100 measures of corn and prayed, May it be thy will, O Lord, that they become 200. Oh, I seem to have interrupted your study.
No, no, not at all, Reb Levi. In fact, we would be pleased to hear your opinions in the matter.
Oh, my opinion is not important, Reb David. But Maimonides, in the introduction to his great commentary on the Mishnah, speaking of prayer in general, makes the significant point that prayer in order... Rabbi David Hanagid, the grandson of Maimonides, commenting on the same problem, said that prayers in affliction undoubtedly reach the heavenly throne. And the... commentary of Shimon ben Zemach Duran, that what appears to be a contradiction is easily resolved. You must forgive me. I sometimes do not remember to stop.
What are you saying, Reblevi? We could listen for days.
Yes, indeed. Please, continue.
No, continue.
I would be honored, Reblevi, if you came home with me.
Please, Nahum. I am, after all, the president of the congregation. Reblevi.
I... thank you both, but I have arranged with the landlord of the inn.
Maybe tomorrow?
I must be on my way in the morning, Reb David.
But
tonight I will be at the inn.
Where is he, Nahum?
Do you have to ask, David? Look there. David, the wisdom, the knowledge that flows from his lips. Did you know, for example, the difference between the planets and the fixed stars?
Baby Margolin is discoursing on astronomy?
Astronomy, geometry, botany, anatomy. Anatomy. David, now I understand for the first time why you are so irritable.
Huh?
You see, the spleen is the seat... You're not listening, David.
I wonder, Nahum. I wonder.
First you don't listen, then you stare at the ceiling. What's the matter with you?
It's possible. Might just be possible.
What are you talking about, David? Tell me.
When I'm ready, I'll tell you, Nahum. First, there's something I must ask Reb Levi Margolin.
And that is the explanation, according to the ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle.
Wonderful. Just wonderful.
Reb Levi, we are speechless with amazement.
Are you, Reb David? Why should that be?
That so much knowledge can be found in one man. Talmud, the Zohar, Kabbalah. We heard with our own ears.
Hey, what a scholar!
Not to mention mathematics, the motion of the stars, the inner workings of the human body, and now philosophy. It makes a man think.
Well, if it does, then I'm happy.
It makes me think, for example, how long does it take to acquire so much knowledge?
Is that of any importance?
No, of course not. Still, how long?
I've been studying all my life.
Ah, but you began, so to speak, at the beginning, to teach what you know. That wouldn't take so long, would it?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
I mean, if he is already a scholar of no small degree.
Who is a scholar?
Nobody. That is, anybody. You are a teacher, aren't you?
Reb David, what do you have in mind?
Nothing. Nothing at all. It's only my curiosity. Reblevi, must you leave tomorrow morning?
Yes, I'm on my way to the academy where I will lecture next month.
Next month? Then please stay with us a little while. You'll be our guest. Won't cost you a penny. And who knows, you might even give a few lessons here.
So, David, you're going to study with Lady Margolin.
Oh, me? Nahum, sometimes you sound foolish.
But you said...
When Reblevi talks, I understand one word in ten, and you understand no more, my friend.
From the way you were questioning him, I thought surely...
There's only one man here who could understand every word.
One man? Of course. Reb Elihu.
That's right, our own scholar. Now, do you see?
I see, David, only... Well, how do you know that Reb Elihu wants to study with Levi Margolin?
That's not how to look at it. A scholar, that is, a teacher, is not so different from a businessman. A shoemaker earns a living by selling shoes. A teacher sells knowledge. Nahum, we will buy a present for our Rebellihu. What we are buying comes high. We will need at least 100 more.
I can give 20.
Each one must decide for himself.
Well, 30.
Yes, of course.
Reb David, this is all I have.
Did I say anything?
I wish it were more.
You don't have to apologize. Every penny helps. I'm sure we have enough now.
I'm happy to hear it. But, I was thinking, David.
This is no time for doubts, Nahum. We've decided.
Well, I suppose you're right.
Of course I'm right. What were you thinking?
Nothing. Only that I wonder what Rebellihu will say.
Yes, Reb David?
It's you, Benjamin. I want to see Rebellihu.
I'm sorry, you can't go in now.
Don't put on airs, Benjamin. I knew you when you couldn't tie your shoelaces. Be good enough to stand aside.
You don't understand. He's in the middle of a train of thought that could lead who knows how far.
What a man. All the same, get out of the doorway.
What is so important that you have to see him now, this minute?
For one thing, not that it's any of your business. I have his weekly stipend from the congregation.
Leave it with me, Reb David. I'll give it to him later.
Rebellihu doesn't need you for a protector.
Let him come in, Ben.
There, you see what you've done.
Why, I know I'm interrupting you, Rebellihu.
The stipend, you said, if it's more than the congregation can afford.
We are honored that you accept it, Rebellihu, and we can afford it. In fact, it should be much more.
I don't need more, David. We live simply, my wife and I. It's enough.
That's not the point. I'm not talking about the money. Not that we couldn't afford a handsome salary if you would consent to take the post of rabbi.
Ah, David, David, you've asked me before and I have answered before.
It isn't right, Rebellihu. A man like you to whom scholars come to settle their disputes, you shouldn't sit in the middle of the congregation.
Should I sit alone?
And accept the judgments of those who know less than you.
Listen to me, David. Some men can do one thing, some another. Some are needed for one purpose, some for a different purpose.
And you are needed only for sitting over the books? Our need is not your concern?
You are saying it is a kind of selfishness.
Oh, excuse me, Rebellihu. I didn't mean it that way. Only in heaven's name, how much is it necessary for a man to know?
Oh, if you only knew how much there is to know.
Then it comes to this. You can't be our rabbi because you still don't know enough.
It is not as simple as that, David.
Then, it's not simple, but it's true, isn't it?
And if I say it's true...
Fine! Excellent! Then the problem is settled. Benjamin, a certain man is waiting outside.
I must insist, Reb David, you have taken enough time.
Please, if Rebellihu wants to throw me out, he'll do it without you. In the meantime, ask the man to come in.
What are you scheming, David?
Don't say it like that, Rebellihu. I'm thinking of your interest. And maybe ours as well. I thank you for waiting, Levi Margolin. You will find much in common with Rebellihu.
David, don't you think it's time to tell me what this is all about?
I am also waiting to hear, David.
Well, it's simple. Just look around you, Reb Levi. Books on the table, books on the chairs, on the floor. There's no place to sit and hardly room to stand.
Yes, I noticed. A very pleasant room.
All his life, Rebellihu has been studying, seeking knowledge.
Then do you think that's wrong?
Is that what I said? But for what he wants, 2 lifetimes would not be enough.
I'm beginning to think that it may be true, David.
Then allow me to tell you, Rebellion, that if knowledge is what you're seeking, your search is ended.
No.
Yes. That's why Lady Margolin is here.
David!
Excuse me, Reb Elihu. I'm beginning to understand, Reb David. But are you sure you know what you're doing?
Absolutely. We are prepared to sign a contract with you.
Mm-hmm. Very businesslike. How do you know that I can deliver according to the terms of the contract?
We have confidence in you, Reb Levy. Besides, payment usually comes after delivery.
I see nothing to laugh about.
Oh, please, please do not be offended, Reb Elihu. To show that I meant no harm, I will offer the first lesson even before the contract is signed.
Don't waste it on us, Reb Levy.
No. I will tell you something, Reb David. I believe that if the truth is taught, then it is never wasted. Listen, it is an ancient text and very short. Who is wise? He that learns.
Is that all?
It is enough, David. And if you don't mind, we have much to talk about, Reb Levy and I.
On this day, exactly 197 years ago, in the season of his life when the harvest was not yet certain, Reb Elihu led the learned stranger into the room overflowing with books and closed the door. And the congregation waited.
We should never have left them alone, Nahum. Do you hear? Who knows what an innocent like Reb Elihu can promise? I can't imagine. How can you work at a time like this? I'm talking to you now.
See what you made me do, David. My finger is swelling already.
Well, I'm glad to see that you're also nervous.
Who's nervous? All the same, it is taking a long time.
Too long. They only have to settle the technical details. What lessons, how many, how long. The rest is my job. Nahum, I have to talk to Lady Margolin.
Relax. Relax. You'll talk to him.
Relax. Listen. In business, you don't relax until the contract is signed and sealed. Well, what are you looking at? Maybe you think I'm wrong?
Oh, I'm not arguing. Only a thought came to me.
Again? I must tell you, Nahum, that of late your thoughts have not given me pleasure.
I'm sorry. I can't help it. But, David, the sample lesson that Levi Margolin gave, was it for Reb Elihu or for us?
Is that all you have on your mind?
I must ask him what he meant.
I have more important things to talk about with Reb Levi Margolin.
You can't go in, Reb David. Nobody can.
Benjamin, I'm in no mood for this. Open the door.
It's locked. From the inside.
But I must talk to Reb Levy.
Reb Levy? He's gone. He left an hour ago. That's when the door was locked.
Something is wrong, David.
Nonsense. What can be wrong, Nahum? All the same, I wonder what went on in there. What went on, Benjamin? Oh, how should you know? You were on this side of the door.
Reb David, I went outside and looked through the window.
Spying on Reb Elihu. What did you see?
It's hard to explain. At first they talked and talked. Both together, it almost seemed. And they laughed.
What is there to laugh about?
Then they stopped laughing and talked quietly. I wish I could have heard.
Go on, go on. Then what?
Nothing. They were silent, thinking.
And when Reb Levy left?
Reb Elihu sat at the table, his books open.
Studying. That's good.
Reb David, his eyes were closed. And ever so often he sighed, as if from the bottom of his heart.
David, something is wrong.
Don't be a pessimist, Nahum. Benjamin, do me a favor. Go out again and look through the window.
I looked just before you came. He's sitting in his chair with his eyes closed, thinking.
On like this, Benjamin.
What do you want me to do, Reb David? Break down the door?
Maybe if you just not. Reb Elihu.
Here he is now.
I've kept you waiting a long time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, my friends.
Well, it's nothing now that you're here.
Oh, we understand. Believe me, it's all right.
Yes, yes.
We understand.
Well, Reb Elihu, what do you say?
I've been thinking what to say. Do you know what it means to me, what you're doing?
Maybe we can imagine. Nahum.
Can you? Can you really?
We all know how you've sat year after year over the books, looking, searching for who could even guess what knowledge and understanding. And now...
Yes, and now...
Now you can close the books. No more studying. Now you have Lady Margolin.
David... Nahum, my friends, you are all good people.
Please, it isn't necessary.
But it is. I thank you all for a gift you consider precious.
We are happy that it pleases you. We can only hope that... That we consider precious? Only we?
How can I make you understand? Listen, once there was a man.
Surely, after all these years, to be freed of the necessity of laboring...
Listen, David. There was a man, a scholar, who dreamed he was in paradise and was taken to the room of the Tanayim, the wise men of long ago. And there he beheld...
To know everything without study, isn't that paradise enough?
There he saw the Tanayim studying the Talmud. He cried out, "Is this then all there is to paradise?" And he heard a voice answer, "You believe the Tanayim are in paradise. You are wrong. Paradise is in the Tanayim."
You don't want knowledge. You want only to continue studying.
Knowledge is not in the knowing, but in the seeking. Who is wise? He that learns.
The lesson was not intended for me.
Wasn't it?
Can I now say to Lady Margolin?
You don't have to say anything. He's gone. He has resumed his journey to the academy.
And you? You will continue to turn the pages of your books?
Why are you angry, Dovid?
Forgive me, Ravilio. I'm disappointed.
Dovid, what do you want of me?
So little, Ravilio. Only that you should come and preach to us once a week.
But every minute that I sit over the books is a sermon. Don't you see?
I don't see what that has to do with us.
Tell me, why do you think it is so important to me that I should continue to study?
How can I tell? In order to know, I suppose.
You cannot separate studying and knowing and doing. David... If I know the commandments regarding charity, am I relieved of the obligation to be charitable? If I know the laws dealing with justice, am I then not required to do justly? If I continue to study, it is in order that I may learn how to live as I am told I ought to live. And you, David, what about you?
Me? I don't know what you mean.
The Talmud requires the same of all men.
I am not a scholar, Rebellion. For my needs, I know enough.
Each day has its own needs. Can you store up knowledge for tomorrow? David, the requirement is not knowledge, but study.
Well, why are you all standing here?
I'm sorry.
Rebellion has already wasted half a day on our account.
No, David, you mustn't say that.
Why not? It's true.
It wasn't wasted, And I'll tell you why. Because you made me understand a very important thing.
We did?
For what I want, you said, two lifetimes would be too short.
If you pay attention to the things I say...
I also said it. But we were wronged of it. To learn what must be known, one lifetime is just long enough.
It all happened long ago, when the store of knowledge was so meager that the stars were still distant and the foundations of the earth secure. We have had the increase of knowledge. But even so, to learn what must be known, what must really be known, a lifetime is just long enough.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our Eternal Light drama today, A Lifetime is Just Long Enough, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical music. Featured in the cast were Roger DeCoven as David, Norman Rose as Levi Margolin, Guy Rep as Elihu, Mandel Kramer as Nahum, and Jim Stevens as Benjamin, with Burford Hamden and Harvey Hayes. The narrator was Bert Cowlin. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.